Hi, my name is Steve Connell from Clearly Training, and this is the third in a series of podcasts on cost reduction and cost management in the public sector. And today, I'm going to talk to you about target costing. Now, target costing, as I think I mentioned on the first of this series, is one of those private sector ideas that at first perhaps sounds like it doesn't have an awful lot to do with the public sector. But target costing is, I suppose, traditionally used as a method for determining the selling price of a commercial product. But it can also be used, particularly in the public sector, as a method for managing costs. And there are a couple of subsidiary methods that go along with target costing, which help us to manage costs better. Target costing in its simple, pure, I suppose, private sector form works in four stages. Stage one, we determine the target price that customers will pay. Now, before you switch off there, you might like to think there are actually some public sector services that are charged for. I mean, you can think of local authority services like, for example, a planning application. We charge for it. Now, there might not be a private sector alternative, but there will be an upper price that people are prepared to pay when it simply won't be worth their while making a planning application to the local authority. And if they don't make the planning application, then of course that stream of revenue falls. Parking permits, again, in the local authority might be another example of something that people will pay for. There'll be other parts of the government that will charge for certain of its services. And sometimes those services may even be in competition with the private sector. So, for example, there is an organisation called UK Trade and Investment that provides advice and consultancy services for potential exporters. And they could be competing against PricewaterhouseCoopers, who might also be providing the same service. So that is something that you may have in the public sector. The second stage would be then to determine the level of profit margin you want to make. Now, that's a very much a private sector idea, but of course in the public sector it might be that you want to make zero profit margin. So that second stage might be simply to say, well, the zero profit margin that we want. The third stage is to estimate the actual cost of the service. And then stage four is to look at the actual cost. And if that exceeds the target cost, in other words, if that exceeds the cost that you need it to be in order for you to make your target profit margin, then you need to drive down those actual costs. So say stage one, you decided you were providing some advice to someone, you decided that they would be prepared to pay you £500 for the advice. You then decided that your profit margin was zero, so at stage two, and therefore at stage three, the actual cost of the service should be £500. Well, if the actual cost of the service is £600, you then know that you need to drive down that cost. Otherwise, you're not able to meet the profit margin that you require. So that then leads us to some subsidiary techniques, which are to do with reducing costs. And the two subsidiary techniques are called teardown analysis, first of all, and then value engineering. So let's talk about teardown analysis. Again, a private sector idea, but we can map it across to what happens in the public sector. Talk you through the basics, first of all. Teardown analysis, sometimes known as reverse engineering, by the way. Teardown analysis is where we take a competitor's offering, so it might be a private sector offering. Another example, actually, as well as local authority services, could be that we're in the health sector and we have a private sector alternative, a private sector hospital, for example. It may be that we're in care services and there are private sector alternatives available. So there may be competitors' offerings out there. We then look at the private sector alternative service and we break it down into its components. So we say, well, which things do they provide for that service that they're charging for? And then we benchmark our offering against theirs and we will incorporate any elements of their offering that we need to put into ours. And more importantly, when we're trying to manage and reduce costs, we'll be able to see that the competitor perhaps isn't providing some of the elements of service that we're providing. And if we're providing more than them, then it's going to be costing us more than it's costing them. So we may need to reduce, take out some of those elements. Often that can be quite a frustrating exercise in the public sector because often there are elements of the service that we provide that we cannot stop providing. So, for example, in the public sector, if staff costs are involved, then we will usually, on a like-for-like basis, have that extra issue in the public sector that cost is increased by the pension provision that we need to make. And that might not be the case in the private sector organisation that we're comparing ourselves against. But it's still a useful technique. There may be other elements of service that we're providing that's costing money that the private sector or other competitor isn't providing. And by the way, we don't have to be comparing ourselves against the private sector. It could be one local authority comparing it against another local authority, or one government department, central government department, comparing against another central government department. The second element of helping to drive down those costs, the second subsidiary technique, is called value engineering. Value engineering has similarities to teardown analysis because it involves us breaking down our service into its component elements. So, on a stage-by-stage approach, this is what we do. First of all, we will decompose our offering into its many elements. So, if we were looking at something like a local authority planning process, we will look at all of the different stages and elements of that service that are involved. So, for example, we may have a dedicated web space for putting the planning applications up. We may have legal duties to actually disclose any comments or complaints that have been made against the application. We'll break down all of those elements, all of the things that we do, that we provide in that service, because, of course, every time we do something as part of our service, it will cost us money. We then give a value to each element of the service to reflect the amount a service user will be prepared to pay for that element. And the total of all these values will reflect the full value of the service to the ultimate consumer. The cost of each component can then be compared to the value placed on it by the consumer. So, for example, in a public sector gymnasium that's run by the local authority, we may be providing towel washing facilities and services. And what we would then do is we would look at how much that element of the service that we were providing actually cost us. And then we perhaps survey the gym users and say, look, if you had to pay for that service, how much would you be prepared to pay to have your towels laundered here rather than bringing your own towels? And then we would compare how much they valued it with how much it cost. And of course, if it's costing us more than they value, then perhaps that element of our service isn't worth providing. So that's how we would use value engineering. So this idea of target costing is to look at the target cost that we need to achieve so that we can do the services within the cost that our customer, our service user, is prepared to pay for it. And if we find that we can't achieve or we're not achieving that cost level, then we need to reduce that cost level. And in order to reduce that cost level, we may look at benchmarking our service against somebody else by doing the teardown analysis, or we may look at doing some value engineering by asking the users of our service how much value they place on each element of the service and taking out those elements of our service that are actually costing more to provide than they are valued by our service users. Okay, now those ideas won't map across to every bit of the public sector. But if you're in a part of the public sector where you are providing services that maps across to, then they're useful techniques, useful ideas that can be borrowed from the private sector. My name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Thanks very much for listening, and bye-bye.